Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
That's the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net, and I did get back from Alaska. Those who have been listening know I went to Alaska a couple weeks ago and had a great time there in Alaska. Got to see the land of the midnight sun, and I can tell you that rock was splitting in Alaska because there was an earthquake when I was there, and I felt the wave of the ground rumble under my feet. Never had experienced that before. So rock splitting politics, I've got a lot to talk about today, this week's show. So get ready. Hold on to your hat. Let me tell you what's going up. We're percolating on this week's show about the Supreme Court and its recent rulings of Obamacare, the wording of Obamacare that came out, the ruling on that, and also same-sex marriage legal across all 50 states. Where do we go from here? What does it mean to you? Some things that you might not quite understand, may not have known, and we got clips from Mike Huckabee that's going to help us understand where his position is on this. So hang on. We got that coming up. Before we get into that, I have to tell you first that we've had a big splash and a little splash diving into the Republican nomination for president. Who's the big splash? Who's the little splash? Well, I'll tell you that in just a moment. But first, let me say, we have 14 candidates now. You want me to list them? Can you list them? Do you know them? How many do you know? Well, let me run down that list. I'm going to tell you who the big splash was last week and the little splash. Here are our announced candidates. Are you ready for this list? You got your pen and paper? Well, let's go down the list. First, we got former Governor Jeb Bush of Florida, former Florida governor. And then we got Dr. Ben Carson. Now, he is from Florida. I talked with his wife a few months ago. And, of course, he was in Maryland at John Hopkins in the Baltimore area for years. And as he retired from neurosurgery, his wife said they had to go where taxes weren't near as bad. So they are now residents of Florida. And then we got Governor Chris Christie. We got U.S. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Of course, Chris Christie from New Jersey. Then we got businesswoman Carly Fiorina. Now she actually lives in Virginia. And we got U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina. Former Governor Mike Huckabee. Now, we think of him as former governor of Arkansas, but he actually lives where? He lives in Florida. Low taxes. That's why he moved to Florida. Then we got Governor Bobby Jindal in Louisiana. Governor John Kasich, Ohio. We spoke about how important Ohio will be in the 2016 presidential election. Former Governor George Pataki, New York. Now, if Pataki could carry New York, that would be a big, big boost for Republicans. But I don't believe he can carry New York on a presidential ticket as president or vice president. U.S. Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky. Former Governor Rick Perry, Texas. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. Former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum, Pennsylvania. Businessman Donald Trump, New York. And Governor Scott Walker, Wisconsin. Whoo, how many was that? Were you right? I said 14. We went over 14 because I forgot to tell you about the big splash and a little splash. Well, last week we had Chris Christie jumping in, and he made a big splash. We had Bobby Jindal of Louisiana jumping in. So that total 16 names. And I called Bobby Jindal a little splash. He didn't make the news. He didn't. Well, he made the news, but he didn't make it big like Christie did. Donald Trump did. Jeb Bush did. And that's with this many people running, you have to say, how can they get their name in the news cycle? You go over through these candidates, which I just named, and those are a lot of people, and they're trying to get their message out. And I sort of know what it is. I told you, I ran for Congress just a few weeks ago, and there were 13 candidates, and it was hard to get your message out with so many people running. So these are the things, these are the people, then, and my hat's off to every one of them. These are all smart, good people, and there are a few more that have announced that are not big names that are trying to work their way into it. So, and you ask, who are those? Well, I can tell you. There's a guy from Mississippi, former IRS commissioner, Mark Everson. He is announced for the Republican nomination. People are talking about former Governor Bob Ehrlich from Maryland may try to come out and, again, run for the Republican ticket. Former Governor Jim Gilmore of Virginia, thinking about it, too. So those are some names that you could throw in there in the mix, and they're obviously trying to get their name out with all these others and somehow thinking they might be a VP presidential spot. And Congressman Pete King talked about it, you know, on Homeland Security, that he was thinking about running for president, and he may throw his name in the ring. So there's other names out there ready to jump in. Well, John Kasich has not officially jumped in. He's going to make his announcement, Governor Kasich of Ohio, sometime here in the next couple of weeks. So we have a lot to talk about, the presidential nomination process on the Republican side and also on the Democratic side. So stay tuned to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because I'm going to bring out stories you won't hear anywhere else. And just as I talk about the big splash and little splash, we got most of the candidates in now. And they're already in the churn, in trying to get into the news cycle. And who can get that best done? And how are they going to do it? Stay tuned to Rock Splitting Politics over the next few weeks, next few months. It's going to be exciting. So we'll bring out some stories you won't hear anywhere else, but right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. But I got to get into the meat of today's show. What I talked to you about is the Supreme Court has made their ruling. Let's talk about the Obamacare. We brought this up on our show over 2 years ago before it was on anybody else's radar screen, talking about the wording and the way it was written. And we know about the state exchanges, and that is just one sentence that this whole Supreme Court ruling was about. And basically, there was sloppy handwriting by whoever wrote the law, wrote the bill. It was put into law, and now my question is, with the Supreme Court found that Obamacare subsidies were okay if the IRS or the executive branch reread or interpreted a line differently from the way it was written. And it goes back to, are we a nation of laws or a nation of men and women who decide what things are done? And it goes back to, if the executive branch, and the Supreme Court said it's okay for the executive branch to change the wording or change the interpretation of the sentences, of the way the sentence was written, that subsidies could be either to the state or federal exchanges. And that word exchanges is the whole part of what the lawsuit was about. If the state made an exchange, it says only the state exchanges would get the subsidies. That's the way the law is written. But the federal, more states have federal exchanges and didn't make their own state exchanges. And the law says, the way it's written, those cannot get subsidies, which would sink the entire premise of Obamacare. So the Supreme Court said, I don't care the way it's written. We'll just interpret it the way the executive branch says. So understanding that, it makes me, this is what it makes me feel like. Why do we have the Congress? We have three branches of government by the Constitution, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. Why do we need the legislative if the executive branch says we're going to interpret this the way we want to interpret it? We don't care how it was written, but this is the way we interpret it. And then the Supreme Court judicial branch says, well, we're okay with the way the executive branch interprets it. So why do you need the congressional branch? Just kick it out. I mean, why do we need Congress if the Supreme Court and executive branches, the judicial and executive branches are going to make the decisions, then Congress is really null and void. It's voided itself. They can't write a law. Evidently, that one line, it was sloppily written. So, therefore, it can be interpreted however you want it. But it begs this to differ. If we get a Republican president elected in 2016, can the executive branch reinterpret the law the way I understand it? That's what the Supreme Court says. The executive branch interpreted the law this way, the sentence, so that subsidies could go to either state or federal exchange. So if we get a new president who interprets it different, would the Supreme Court back that president? Will it? Well, is it up to the executive branch to decide how the law reads and then backed by the Supreme Court? The way I understand it, we could have a Republican president interpret it differently, and the Supreme Court should back that up. So that's something nobody else is talking about. I wonder, how do you feel? You can write me and let me know how you feel about it. But the Supreme Court has ruled that the executive branch is okay in interpreting the law the way they feel like it should be interpreted and not the way it's written. So does that mean 2016 we elect a Republican president that they can reinterpret that law the way they want to? It should be that way. And let's see if that's the way it is. The way we find out, you know, Nancy Pelosi said we had to pass the bill to find out what's in it. Well, we need to elect a Republican president to see if we can reinterpret this law the way the executive branch wants to, whoever's ahead of it. We don't know if it'll work with the Supreme Court, so therefore, using the Nancy Pelosi logic, America needs to elect a Republican president to find out if we can actually use the Supreme Court's backing of the executive branch's interpretation of the health care law. Making sense to you? Well, that's rock-splitting politics right here, the way I see it, the way we bring things out. You don't hear it anywhere else. Have you heard it anywhere except for first right here that the Republican, if a Republicans elect the president in 2016, will they reinterpret this law to mean what it actually says the way it was written by the Democrats who wrote it? Well, let's find out. That's what I say. Look, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. I'm glad that you're listening to things that you won't hear anywhere else. And I'm glad you're telling your friends and neighbors about Rock Splitting Politics. Because this is where it's going to be. This is where you're going to find your information for the 2016 presidential election, Republicans and Democrats. A lot to talk about in the upcoming months. And I'm telling you right now, I'm excited about what's going on. This is unparalleled. Where in American history have you seen so much diversity in the Republican Party? Look at who's running. The Republicans have a woman, have an African-American, have senators, former governors, business people. I mean, the diversity of the Republican nomination is staggering compared to the Democrats. We got a woman running in Hillary Clinton. Then you got Bernie Sanders, the first claimed socialist running for president. That's unique. And then we have others in there running. We're going to be talking about that. So get excited about listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics And we're going to be bringing up new things also. We can't talk about just presidential politics without getting involved with the Iran deal. Is President Barack Obama going to have a legacy? Is he going to work out a deal with Iran after the negotiations keep getting pushed back? Might as well push them on the deadline. They keep pushing it. Just go ahead and push it to 2017 when Obama's out of the White House. Might as well. They'll have a bomb, probably have a bomb almost by now anyway. The other things we got to talk about coming up is when we talk about Miss Hillary Clinton and the emails and her server. We haven't had time to dig into that, and some Benghazi emails coming out. So there's so many things to talk about. And I have to tell you about my eyes are staying on Greece and what's going on in the financial world. Are we on the precipice of a financial doomsday and the worldwide depression? Are we going to fall like dominoes if Greece falls and then all of a sudden pressure goes on other countries that are under the water, that are really struggling with debt payment? Could America struggle with debt payment? Well, we're over $18 trillion in debt, and we could very well be popping up to $20 trillion before you blink an eye almost. So a lot of things to talk about, and you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and we will be on top of these things for you, our listeners, in a way that nobody else gets to cover the stories. We cover them, give you commentary, bring in clips, bring in other speakers, and get some interviews that you won't hear anywhere else. I'm excited about getting this material together for you. Every week I get excited about what I can talk to you about. So make sure you tune in to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics as we focus, really refocus everything about America and freedom and what we need to do to bring America back to more liberty, more freedom, and make sure that you understand how important your vote is and your voice is. And we know it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. So I got to tell you about what the Supreme Court ruled also on same-sex marriage. And we got Mike Huckabee, a clip from Mike Huckabee, and I'm going to talk about that. But he summed up a lot of people's views on same-sex marriage that are in the Republican Party. Also, some people in the Democratic Party summed up. So let's listen as he was interviewed with Megyn Kelly after the Supreme Court made its ruling, historic ruling, 5-4, that same-sex marriage is a constitutional right across all 50 states. Let's listen to what former Governor of Arkansas Mike Huckabee says.
I know that you put out a campaign release today saying, "I will not acquiesce to an imperial court," and said, "We must resist and reject judicial tyranny, not retreat." I mean, what does that mean? You have to accept this ruling, right? I mean, are you planning on not accepting the ruling in a way?
Well, how do we accept something that is on its face unconstitutional? Well, has the Congress yet acted?
How do you not
have
accept
they yet
it? It's
said
the Supreme
that
Court's
is
job to interpret the Constitution and tell us what it means. And like it or not, they do get the final say unless the people decide to pass a constitutional amendment.
Glad you brought that up. That's the whole point. The people do have a right to say. And in over 30 states, they did say. And they said very clearly that they wanted to affirm the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God, words from the Declaration of Independence, and keep marriage what it's always been. When we say that the Supreme Court has the last word, they had the last word in Dred Scott in 1857, declaring that black people were property, that black people weren't really human. I know of no one that believes that that was a proper decision, or that we still should abide by it today, or that Abraham Lincoln should have just rolled over, put up the white flag of surrender, and said, "Hey, that's the law of the land. There's nothing I could do about it." Thank God he didn't.
And that's very strong language from former Governor Mike Huckabee, a presidential candidate for the Republican nomination. And he very strongly compared the 5-4 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to make same-sex marriage legal across all 50 states. He compared it to the Dred Scott decision. And he said the Dred Scott decision was profoundly wrong, and nobody agrees with it, and it's not the law of the land today. So does that mean the Dred Scott decision that was overturned basically by a civil war. And that is what Mike Huckabee talking about. Well, Megyn Kelly went on and pushed him some more. And let's hear a little bit more of that interview that went on with former Governor Mike Huckabee. Take a listen to this part.
Let me ask you before I let you go, because they're showing it on the board now as you and I are discussing this case. Your thoughts, your reaction to the White House aglow in rainbow colors tonight.
And for my listeners who don't know, Megyn Kelly was asking the governor about the White House being lit in rainbow colors. Of course, it had to be very well planned to have it all ready. But for the first time, the rainbow colors at night, the White House had the special lights that made the White House look the rainbow color of the gay pride flag. So that's what Megyn Kelly was asking about, for if you didn't catch that or see pictures of it last week. Well, that's what she's asking. Let's see the response from Governor Huckabee.
Well, again, this is a president who has pushed this agenda, but I remind Americans that this president believed, like I did back in 2008, or at least he claimed to, when he said that marriage was between a man and a woman. And here's what he said. He said that he believed that because as a Christian, God was in the mix. Now, one of three things happened. Either he was lying then, he's lying now, or God changed the definition of marriage between 2008 and 2012, and Barack Obama was the only one who got the new version.
Huh, did you hear former Governor Huckabee? He said that our president, President Barack Obama, was either lying in 2008, or he's lying now, or get this, Governor Huckabee is saying, obviously, if he's not lying, then President Obama has a special line, just like there's a hotline to Russia, where if there's a nuclear problem, pick up the hotline and go directly to Putin. But now, obviously, he has a line in the White House. He can pick it up and talk to God. So President Obama, is what Governor Huckabee is saying, must have got a direct message from God saying the marriage has changed, and God didn't tell everybody else, but he told Barack Obama. Well, that's what Governor Huckabee is saying, and I just thought I had to jump in there and say Governor Huckabee is calling our president a liar. And do you agree with that, or do you think that maybe Governor Huckabee is right, saying that Barack Obama has a direct line to God, and God told him he's changed marriage, and Barack Obama is the one that has to let everybody know that marriage, the definition of marriage, has been changed by God himself. Well, that's what Governor Huckabee mentioned. So let's go on and listen to what else the governor had to say.
I just am amazed at how quickly this issue changed. I believe it's a reminder that a president can play a significant role in shaping culture, because I don't think we'd be here today if this president had not been such a staunch advocate and one of the leading voices to push for something that just 3 years ago he said he was against.
He did take that position, and we're going to talk about the president's...
So on Fox News' Megyn Kelly show, Governor Huckabee pretty much ripped open President Barack Obama's line and exposed it to the American people. But what does that mean? Well, the Supreme Court has made a ruling, and Governor Huckabee has talked about the people did speak, and over 30 constitutional amendments saying that the people wanted marriage between one man, one woman, state constitution. Amendments over 30 states, but now the Supreme Court has just overruled all the people that voted on it, and so that's the final say. Governor Huckabee said Dred Scott was not the final say, so what could happen? Well, the only thing that can happen now, and I'm not saying it won't happen, and it very well could happen, it doesn't look like it will, doesn't appear that people who really believe in a religious process of marriage being between one man and one woman, I don't believe they have the ability to unite and get together, but it'd be a very simple thing they could do. And Governor Huckabee has mentioned it, or Megyn Kelly did, a constitutional amendment. It would have to be a federal constitutional amendment to the United States Constitution defining marriage as between one man and one woman. It could easily be done, and I'm going to tell you how it can be done. But first, I want you to hear this song that, maybe this is what Mike Huckabee, I don't know if he's saying this where we go, but I've heard others say from pulpits and other places, there's a song that very well could tell where America's going. President Barack Obama, maybe he's singing this song when the White House was all lit up in the rainbow colors that night when the Supreme Court announced the decision about same-sex marriage. We could have brought in a band, AC/DC days, and had them on the front lawn of the White House in rainbow colors. And a lot of people would think this is the song to sing for America. Take a listen. Well, is America on a highway to hell? That's what AC/DC was singing. Can you imagine the White House all colored at night with the rainbow colors and AC/DC singing? You remember where the lyric started? Look at me, Mama. I'm on a way to the promised land, highway to hell. Well, there's a lot of people who think that America is in a downward slope. And here we are with a worldwide tension of financial problems with Greece that could be a domino effect. And we got people saying we could be sitting on a judgment day. Well, I will tell you this. I am not out scaring people. But you listeners of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics for the last several years know that I am for marriage between one man and one woman. Have nothing to do about homosexuality. And people want rights, and they say we need to have equal rights, and I believe. My thoughts are everybody's equal with the marriage laws between one man and one woman. Everybody has the right to marry someone of the opposite sex. But the reason why is not denying people their right to be married, same-sex couples getting married. Is that going to destroy America? Not in itself, but the problem is marriage equality. What is marriage equality? Well, they say it's same-sex marriage, but it goes beyond that. It's the forces. Okay, get a hold of your hat. This is Doc Holliday speaking, but marriage equality is nothing more than the forces of communism, basically. It's communism budding, and it goes into full bloom. Now, what's full bloom? It's where we're going to have total breakdown of families. What does it mean? Same-sex marriage is not doing itself, but once you change the definition of marriage, now we already have people wanting polygamy. Polygamy is going to be pushed. How can the courts who decided you have a right for same-sex marriage, how can they deny the polygamist? How can they deny the Muslim who wants to marry five wives? How can they deny someone who wants to marry two wives or three men and two women want to get married, have multiple partners? And then why have marriage at all? And that's the part of marriage equality. Marriage equality has nothing to do with marriage other than destroying the institution. And the Supreme Court has now made it legal to destroy the institution of marriage. They've destroyed it. And we will see precedents setting of polygamy. Now, get this. How can we afford welfare queens? How can we afford, if Muslims have five wives, do every one of them get to have welfare benefits? Each wife gets welfare benefits, and we set up each wife in different apartments, and then the American taxpayer paying for someone who wants to be a polygamist. They say they have a right to be a polygamist. I'm not saying specifying Muslims, though they do have more than one wives in most nations, and because the Quran says they can. But look at Utah and other places. Are we responsible as American taxpayers to make sure that each wife has their own separate apartment and raises their children? And will that happen? Oh, you forgot my show. It's already happening in parts of America. We already have Muslim men who have multiple wives and living in different apartments. In Florida, other states, it's happening already. Can we afford it? Will we be able to survive as a nation when we don't have an institution of marriage that is the framework of freedom? The framework of freedom and liberty is built on the strength of the American family. And what the Supreme Court has done has destroyed that framework. It can be restored by the people by a constitutional amendment that says marriage is between one man and one woman. And it has to be a constitutional amendment now. And the most important group that says they're for marriage between one man and one woman overall is the people of faith in the African-American community. It's a simple thing. This is how it is done. You simply say, everybody, if your belief in God, that marriage between one man and one woman, you just make a vow that you will not vote for any candidate from dog catcher to president who supports same-sex marriage. Overnight, and with one or two election cycles, the politicians would understand they have to get on the bandwagon or lose their job. But will the African-American community put God over politics? In more precise terms, will the African-American community of faith say that God is more important than the Democratic Party? And we'll see what happens. This is the part where everybody says, who's going to lead? The African-American Christian community, people of faith, they can actually lead the constitutional amendment. And they can be the moral leaders of this nation. We'll wait and see. What will the African-American community do? I'm not putting it all on their backs. It needs to be everybody. But this is at one point where so many times I've heard people go, well, it takes the white community does something and the black community gets invited. No, I'm saying this is where America, if you want a constitutional amendment, you want marriage between one man and one woman, let's follow the African-American faith community. Will they lead? I'm ready to follow them. Speak out. I'm ready to follow if you'll lead. Let's see what happens. We will continue next week with some exciting news from Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics about Republican nomination and all kind of things. I talked to you before. We have got some exciting weeks and months ahead. I'm glad to be with you. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.